Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard, based here in Los Angeles. Joining me on the other line in New York is Billboard's editorial director, Jason Lipschitz. Hello, Jason.
What's up, man?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am splendiferous.
Wow.
I am spantacular.
That's lovely.
Yeah, I'm lover-tick-a-tacular.
Wow, I don't even know what that means. But
none of these words are real. So, but yeah, I should move on, right? Maybe. Yeah?
Let's do it. Let's start the show.
I love the way Jason's like, "Can we hurry up? Can we move on?" Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and nonsensical words on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we'll be talking about Kelly Clarkson's brand new album, Meaning of Life, that represents a pretty interesting change for her and a pretty positive one, in my opinion. We'll also be talking about the first American Music Awards performers. They announced a couple over the past week or so, so we will get to that shortly.
Plus, in charts news, Niall Horan debuts atop the Billboard 200 with his first album. Camila Cabello and Ed Sheeran hit the top 10 separately on the Billboard Hot 100. And Portugal the Man's Feel It Still continues its multi-format chart domination as the song hits number one on the Pop Songs Airplay chart.
On top of that, Keith, we've got an interview with the one, the only Rachel Platten.
Yeah.
The singer-songwriter stopped by the office here in New York to talk about her new album, Waves, which just came out, and how she's never been more proud about anything she's made so far. Plus, she and I talked about why she likes to wear onesies in the studios, how it's still scary to release new music, and she even talks a bit about some of her haters and how they're coming around to her new music. It was a really fun chat, so stick around later for that. But first, Keith. Before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, if Keith, you enjoy the podcast that we make together,
right.
And also if you are a listener that enjoys the podcast that you are listening to, that you do not have a hand in making, but
more
are listening to and rooting for, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you never, ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or review while you're at it. Come on, go ahead. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. All right, man, let's hit some of the big headlines on billboard.com. So people, I don't know if you know, you're paying attention to the buzz, Keith, to the chatter,
the webs, the internet chatter,
that internet
chatter,
the tweets, the hashtags, as the kids say, the snaps on
who's been
Snapchats?
Indicted today, Jason. Oh wait, no, we're talking about music. Got it. Okay.
You'll know that a lot of people are really in love with this new Kelly Clarkson album. Meaning of Life was released last Friday, October 27th. The former American Idol champ's eighth studio album. Eight albums of Kelly Clarkson so far includes the single Love So Soft, which we already talked about on the Pop Shop podcast. And it's Kelly's first for Atlantic Records. It's a little bit more rhythmic, a little bit more soulful. And I really like it. I saw Kelly preview some of this album a few weeks ago when she announced the album at the Rainbow Room in Rockefeller Center in New York. It was a very cool preview, and now we have the whole thing.
Oh, that's right. You were there like on your anniversary or something, weren't you?
It was my wedding anniversary. It's a good memory, man.
And didn't you like actually get to physically talk to Kelly Clarkson as well?
I did get to physically talk to Kelly Clarkson, which was
as
very
opposed
cool.
to like metaphysically talking to Kelly Clarkson.
Talking to her by osmosis or something. No, it was real life.
I'm just sending you vibes, Kelly.
But I really like this album, man. And what's interesting to me about it is that Kelly has had this really consistent career, even as she's gone into albums 5, 6, 7. And she was on RCA Records for a long time, and she just kept collecting these hits, even unexpected hits. Stronger, What Doesn't Kill You was a number one hit on the Hot 100 a couple years ago. That was not the first single from that album. Mr. Know-It-All was.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was not the right single to start off with from that album. But I digress. Sorry.
Yeah. And then her last album, which was Piece by Piece, had a minor hit with Heartbeat Song. And then she performed the title track, Piece by Piece, on American Idol during the final season. I believe it's the final season.
It was. While she was pregnant, and she was very emotional, and she was crying, and that performance ultimately got a Grammy Award nomination too.
Pretty cool. That became a top 10 hit. So she's had this kind of sneaky consistency ever since her real commercial apex of the Since You've Been Gone and My Life Would Suck Without You days. This is a really, I want to say just like a grown album. She's very comfortable with where she's at in her life. She's very happy, and she's kind of striking back at the haters, and I love it, man. It's a really good album, so I just kind of wanted to talk about it for a minute.
I want to point out that Kelly was on the Pop Shop podcast earlier this year, in fact, for our annual Grammy Spectacular.
Oh, right. That's true.
She was on talking to Katie and I back when Katie was not on maternity leave. we were talking about Kelly's Grammy nomination for Piece by Piece. And in the conversation, we also talked a little bit about the new album, which at that point, it was like, I think we were talking to her like in January or February. So it was a while ago. And she said at that time, she called it literally the record I've been wanting to make since I was a kid. And she said that this new album, at that point, was by far my favorite album I've ever been a part of. I think, and if you read any of the interviews that Kelly has done in recent times, she feels like she has been creatively stifled in some ways with her work for RCA Records, and how she kind of called it, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, an arranged marriage, because that was the prize that you got by winning American Idol. You got a record deal with Sony and RCA. And, you know, it seems like she's sort of been not doing stuff that she didn't necessarily not want to do entirely, because, you know, she has to sing these songs for the rest of her life. But it seems like now she's like totally free to do whatever the heck she wants. And it seems like she's always wanted to make a soul R&B 90s album, kind of. And that's kind of what she did, I think.
Very cool album. Check that out again. I guess we'll see. We don't have like a projection for that, Keith. I guess we'll find out. But I feel like I feel like it'll do pretty well.
Yeah, you'll hear about what will probably be number one on the Billboard 200 a little bit later on in the show.
Ooh, boy. I like that tease.
It's called a tease.
So moving on, the first American Music Awards performers have been announced. Selena Gomez will take the stage for the first time since her kidney transplant to perform Wolves, her new single, alongside Marshmello, after she scored a big hit with It Ain't Me, featuring, or with Kygo, I should say. Another EDM collaboration, this time with Marshmello. Also, Christina Aguilera will honor Whitney Houston and The Bodyguard, the 25th anniversary of The Bodyguard.
One big voice deserves another big voice in a tribute, I think.
It's very true. She's doing a medley. I'm pumped for both of these, man.
I'm assuming that she's got to do I Will Always Love You.
Oh, come on. She's got to.
Ooh, actually, I really would really like her to do Queen of the Night.
Do you know what song I didn't even think about that one.
It's very brassy, Christina, like strutty, like, you know, like very, like, you know, it was sort of Dirty Light in 1992.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Maybe? I don't know. Maybe I'm stretching.
Just like a smidge dirty.
For Whitney, Queen of the Night was very sort of like, take no prisoners, you know, I'm sort of a badass. And that wasn't always what you got from Whitney. And so I can kind of see how that kind of could be echoed in a way in kind of the sassiness of what Christina brought to us with, you know, songs like Dirty and the Stripped album, which came out 15 years ago.
Yeah, we just had a great piece on Billboard.com celebrating Stripped on its 15th anniversary again. So American Music Awards, November 19th.
We'll be there.
I will say I can't say any other performers. But I have heard a couple, and they're very exciting.
Wow, I don't even know what you're talking about.
A little bit of a tease there, man. Ooh, yeah. So I'm really pumped about that.
I look forward to interviewing Marshmello somewhere on a red carpet.
Somebody in our office dressed up like Marshmello for Halloween, which is very cool.
That's kind of an easy one to do. You just get like a trash can and paint it white.
I think it literally was a trash can over there. Probably.
Well, I think now it is time to move on to some chart news.
Yeah.
Let's run the Billboard chart numbers and do the chart chat. Here are three of the biggest headlines on the charts. Number one, Niall Horan tops the Billboard 200 with his debut album, Flicker. Number two, Camila Cabello and Ed Sheeran and Young Thug all hit the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100. And number three, Portugal the Man hits number one on the Pop Songs Airplay chart with Feel It Still. Okay, let's break down each of these individually. First up, Niall debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 with his first album, Flicker. The set earned
Flicker.
Why do we do that? I don't know. The set earned 152,000 equivalent album units in the week ending October 26th, according to Nielsen Music. And of that sum, 128,000 were in traditional album sales. And of course, like so many other number one albums this year, Niall's first week was aided by a concert ticket album sale redemption promotion in association with his tour. Further, Horan is the third member of One Direction to notch a solo number one album, as we teased a week ago on the show, a feat matched only by The Beatles. Horan follows fellow One Direction member Harry Styles, who hit number one earlier this year with his self-titled debut, and, of course, former One Direction member Zayn with his debut album, Mind of Mine, back in 2016. The Beatles spun off multiple solo number ones from George Harrison, John Lennon, and Paul McCartney, and the only member of the Beatles that didn't go to number one so far was Ringo Starr. Of course, waiting in the wings, Paul McCartney pun there, because Paul McCartney has his band Wings. Anyway, waiting in the wings from One Direction to release their first albums at some point in the future, of course, is Liam Payne and Louis Tomlinson. So we shall see. No pressure.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. As for next week's number one on the Billboard 200, watch for country king Kenny Chesney to launch atop the list with his new live album, Live in No Shoes Nation. If it starts at number one, it will mark his eighth chart topper. And early indications suggest that it might do around 200,000 units, somewhere around there. And, oh yes, it has a ticket bundle helping it.
Oh, haven't heard of that before.
Oh, I don't know. What's the heck this ticket bundle thing?
What is that? What's that thing?
It's like they were just invented. It is kind of ridiculous. But anyway, we're going to move on. Next up on the Hot 100, Camila Cabello's Havana featuring Young Thug zooms 20 to 7 in the wake of its music video release, while Ed Sheeran scores his sixth top 10 and third from his Divide album with Perfect. For Cabello, this is her second top 10 following her duet with Machine Gun Kelly on Bad Things, which hit number 4 back in February. Havana is thus her first top 10 as the sole lead artist on the track. For Sheeran, Perfect climbs 18 to 10 as the song continues to grow in popularity at radio. The song jumps 30 to 22 on the all-format radio songs chart, while also holding at number 3 on the digital songs chart. Meanwhile, up at number 1, Post Malone's Rockstar featuring 21 Savage continues to rule the list for a third straight week.
I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah.
We can't just skip over that. Come on, we gotta dissect that for a second.
We have to talk about Post Malone or talk about Sheeran or Camila?
I'm going to talk about Camila. I mean, this is a really big win for her. This song is a big hit, and
we were talking about how we thought it would be like a possible top 10 hit a few weeks ago.
We got the Swami hats on. Swami hats.
This is like a Johnny Carson moment.
Yeah. And, but
you're Johnny, I'll be Ed McMahon.
Well, here's the thing, man. You know, Camila leaves One Direction. One Direction, man. I'm losing.
You're firing
it right
on.
Now.
You're firing it's on long, all
it's a,
One Direction.
It's a long. It's been a long day, man. It's been a long day.
So she left Fifth Harmony.
Fifth Harmony.
At the height of Fifth Harmony's popularity.
Yeah, exactly. Right after Work From Home, which was a big hit. And, you know, she leaves Fifth Harmony and takes her time and to craft some solo music. She comes out with Crying in the Club, which I thought was going to be a really big hit. And it just was not. It never really caught on at radio in the way I thought. And, you know, obviously she's still a big name, but then she's kind of the album was supposed to be earlier this year. It was pushed back a little bit. I don't want to say she was in flux, but, you know, she was looking for a win. And then she floated out these two songs. One was Havana. One was OMG. And Havana has just been the one to really break through in a way that, you know, I mean, Bad Things peaked at number four. And who knows how high Havana could go. I mean, I think that this is a huge look for her as a lead artist, and kind of approaching the 1 year anniversary of her leaving Fifth Harmony. And I mean, congrats to her and the team.
Absolutely.
It's a cool narrative more than anything. She had this song that everybody thought was going to be a big deal. It wasn't necessarily. And then you have the song that she floated out that was a big deal. So you never know sometimes.
It is super interesting and incredible what's happened. As you said, we're coming up, you know, in December, it'll be a year since she left Fifth Harmony. And the safe thing would have been to stay in Fifth Harmony and to just sort of stick it out and hold on for another album. Even though we know from what she said, you know, she wasn't happy in the group. She wasn't following her heart anymore. And it just wasn't her destiny, like, to do it. And, you know, she could have just, like, sort of, like, you know, bitter tongue or whatever, and just hung in there and done another album and, you know, went ahead. But she took the chance of going solo, which, I mean, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work. And so it's incredible what's happened, and that it's incredible that she's got this, you know, really big hit. And it's not just a hit because of the video. It's a hit because, you know, of airplay and sales and streams and the video. It's not just some, you know, fluke thing with a video. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks as the song continues to grow. Now, mind you, next week the song could dip out of the top 10 after the impact of the video, but, you know, no need to panic. It'll probably move back up. Anyway, now I can move on, Jason?
Let's do it.
Okay. Lastly, this week, Portugal the Man's Feel It Still adds another number one achievement to its growing list of chart feats as it tops the Pop Songs Airplay chart. Now, the Pop Songs chart ranks the most played songs on top 40 radio each week. We have a host of airplay-based charts. And it's not often that a song hits number one on multiple formats or multiple airplay charts, because, you know, songs tend to be a hit in their core genre, and then they don't necessarily top other formats unless it's like a really unique situation. So this is a unique situation because Feel It Still is the first song since 2012's Somebody That I Used to Know by Gautier featuring Kimbra to not only top the pop songs chart, but also the alternative songs chart, the adult pop songs chart, the adult alternative songs chart, and the dance mix show airplay chart. So not only is this song a hit with alternative rock radio and mainstream top 40 radio, but also adult alternative radio, which is basically kind of like when you hear, like, public radio stations that play a lot of, like, you know, Mumford & Sons and U2. It's kind of that. And then adult pop songs, which is oftentimes called adult top 40, which is kind of like if you took adult contemporary radio and you had a baby with top 40 radio. It's kind of like lighter and not too aggressive and not so much rap. It's kind of crazy to have a song crossover and hit number one on all these different charts. And I think that is a sure sign that Portugal the Man could come into some perhaps Grammy nominations, Jason.
Ooh,
what do you think?
I don't know. I think people really like this song. I think it's definitely a really interesting case. By the way, Portugal the Man sent a cake today. We're recording this on Monday, the 30th. They sent a cake to our very own Lindsay Havens. celebrating this achievement, because Lindsay has been a champion of this song for months now. Obviously never could have seen how huge it would get, but has really been, you know, fighting hard and leading Billboard's coverage of this very unique hit. The Center of Cake, pretty cool.
What does the cake say? Do we know? Do you remember?
I think it just has like the feel it's still like graphic, like the
like
album
the single cover.
Single
or something.
Cover, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it
send me a piece, please.
I definitely will. It was a pretty good cake. I had a little bit of it.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, I mean it's something that's really unique. I'm not sure about the Grammys.
Mm.
But we'll see. I have a feeling this song, I mean, it's in the top five now. I have a feeling this song is going to be around in the top 10 for a very long time. I just kind of anecdotally, and I love doing this to Keith, just being like, I've heard it a lot on the radio, but I honestly have, and it's one of those songs that you know, no matter what time of day it is, whether it's like in like the morning, like drive playlist of Z100, or, you know, it's part of like the Saturday night like dance mix, like an up-tempo mix of it. It always just kind of works. It kind of fits in with everything.
And that's why it hit number one on so many different airplay charts.
So it's a cool thing. It's a great song. So yeah, congrats to them.
Well, I think it's time to move on, Jason.
Yeah, man. It is time for my interview with Rachel Platten. Obviously, you remember Fight Song, the breakthrough hit from Rachel Platten from a few years ago. And she is back after releasing an album kind of tailored around Fight Song and a few songs that sound like it. With Waves, her new album that just came out this past week. We talked about the creation of this album, the expectations around following up something like a Fight Song. Critics, we talked about onesies. We talked about tequila. What else did we talk about, man? It was kind of a very free flowing conversation. Rachel's awesome. I've talked to her a bunch, and here we go. Here is Rachel Platten stopping by the Pop Shop Podcast. All right, we have Rachel Platten here on the Pop Shop Podcast. How's it going, Rachel?
Dude, it's nice to be here.
It's nice to see you again. I saw you a couple weeks ago.
I think it was like a month, but yeah.
A month ago?
Maybe almost 2 months ago.
Really?
In August.
Time flies.
I know. Tempest fugit.
Exactly.
Such a loser.
Well said. Did you take Latin?
Yeah. Didn't you?
No, I took Spanish and French.
I took Spanish too, but
oh really?
Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
I thought everyone had to take Latin in middle school.
No.
Maybe it was just my darky town. Can we describe where we're at right now?
Yeah, let's talk.
So
what are you seeing right now as we record this
crazy
podcast?
These are Billboard, the actual Billboard magazines.
The archives.
The earliest one, the archives, they went 1897, I have right in front of me.
Yeah.
1897. I had no idea that Billboard existed in the 1800s.
You know, it was a little bit different back then, you know?
There was something about Buffalo Bill and the cowboys and the circus that I was reading. It was so good.
That's amazing. Well, you know, now 120 years later, man, 120 years later.
Wow. Wait, is that real?
That's totally real.
Yeah, that's real.
We are talking about your album.
Which they always knew we would be.
From 1897 to today, Rachel Platten's album. How's release? You're in the middle of release week.
Yeah, I released the record 3 days ago.
What'd you do this weekend?
Well, I asked for the day off on Saturday.
Nice.
I wanted to go upstate. Some of my best friends have a house in Nyack.
Oh, that's cool.
And I wanted to see the leaves. I have no days off lately, and it was really important that like the day after the record came out, I just wanted to have a little break to like celebrate and relax and have kind of a ritual of like before this gets crazy and I start caring what everyone thinks and hearing what everyone thinks. I wanted just a little reset button just to appreciate what I'd done, where I'm at, look at the leaves.
Did it work? Did you have a fun day?
Yeah, I had a great day. I partied a little too much. It was on my story. My label was like, "Wow!" So it wasn't really the calm weekend you were advertising.
Oh,
to
so
us.
They saw it on Instagram.
Yeah, no one gave me shit. I'm just kidding. I just thought that'd be a good thing for the podcast.
Yeah, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's like it must be like cathartic because you're like, not only are you anticipating this music coming out, but you're doing a ton of press, you're doing a lot of promo and performance, and then I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's like turns into you have a whole different job once your music comes out.
Yeah,
our jobs change. They change wildly. They're like, you know, these deeply introspective creatures that pour through our emotions to write what we need for the world, and then they become these complete different things. These outward facing, super hype. Look at me! Look how fancy! I'm literally wearing a shiny gold outfit today.
So I'm like the super plain. I have like a button up on, and Rachel comes in here looking fantastic in like all gold and bows everywhere. And
oh, there's not bows everywhere. There's just one bow.
Well, you know, look, it's a big bow.
People are gonna People are gonna think that I look like a doll. Guys, I look cool.
You look awesome.
This isn't what I wore to make the record, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It was way more your vibe.
Like t-shirt jeans.
Yeah, just pajamas a lot of the time.
What was it like in terms of just kind of, just in the studio for this time around? Was there like a new level of confidence?
Yeah, you know, I went into the record writing process not really knowing what would happen. It had been a year and a half since I'd written my last record, and I was touring and doing promo that whole time. But before that, before Wildfire, which is my last record, I had written songs for 12 years. I'd written thousands of songs. And Fight Song came after it was like the 2000th song I'd written in my life. Yeah. So I didn't realize that all of that work would come to reward me. I kind of thought I'd have to start from scratch. I thought like, okay, that's it. I forgot that skill. I'm going to have to pick it up again.
Yeah.
But as soon as I got off the road and went into the studio, it was like this floodgate opened in a way, and I had so much I needed to say and so much I wanted to process, and I had these skills that I didn't even realize I had waiting for me to help me get this out into the world.
So now, looking back on it, now that the process is complete, like, what do you think this album represents in terms of, I really like this album, and I spent some time with it over the weekend before our chat. What is it? What are these songs? What does this collection mean to you?
It's just me, honestly. It's just, I don't know. It's just all of me. And it really is me without any filter. And it's kind of showing all of my sides, where maybe the last record was me at my most like vulnerable in a kind of broken way, because I had not yet understood anything other than the drive to get to what I thought was the top of a mountain.
Right.
But now I've since realized there's no top. You just circle it. You get where you think you wanted to go, and you look down and you're like, I have so much farther I want to go still. And I still have all these things that I have to deal with, these like demons that are not going away. And they're almost more real once the success that you've been chasing comes, because then you can kind of look around and pause and be like, okay, I got what was distracting me and what I was singularly focused on. And now I can look around and assess, well, where am I in my relationships? Where am I, as a friend, as a wife, as a daughter, as like, you know, whoever in this world, as an artist.
Yeah.
And the album was just me being honest and going through all of that. And parts of it were extremely fun to write. Like, there are songs where I drank tequila all night in the studio and made everyone wear onesies, and like, it was party time. And then there were songs that I wrote in the middle of the night at like 4 a.m. and they were like Grace, and they were honest, really, really raw songs of me questioning God or whatever you believe is up there. What the hell is going on? Why I don't recognize myself. Why am I being jealous? Why do I feel insecure? Who is this? And there are songs that are me angry, and there are ones where I'm feeling really sexy, and it's just kind of me 360, no filter. Yeah.
So what? How did the onesies like help the process, you and your friends?
Well, first of all, I love onesies. I was wearing them. I just don't really like getting dressed. Is the real thing? I know I look extremely put together today. Yeah. This took a lot of really nice women helping me. It's just an outfit. Boom, you're done.
Done.
You're making a statement.
Done.
You're showing up. You're an animal. You're comfortable.
What kind of onesie, like, do you have like a favorite?
I have a lot of them.
A lot of them? A lot of them. I don't own any.
You don't own? Well, you know what, dude? I can fix that for you. I have so many.
Okay,
I have a unicorn.
Okay.
One, I really like that one. I also have a panda.
Okay.
Here's one I just posted today. This is me and all my friends this weekend.
Oh,
onesies.
Wow. Okay, so we're looking
My
at...
husband has, like, an upsetting, like, frowny crotch one. Like, what the fuck
no.
is that? I have a cat. I don't know.
Okay. It's, cool.
They're comfortable. But I think it's funny because a lot of making this record was me feeling like a little kid and not feeling like there was any rules in what it had to sound like, where the production had to sound like, what the songs had to sound like. And I think if I'm going to go to like a deep place about the onesies, it makes you feel like a little kid too.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like you're just playing and you're silly and you look down at yourself and you can't take yourself seriously. And so the adult part of you that criticizes and that judges before art is made is gone.
Yeah.
There's no filter.
It's true. Did you dress up for Halloween?
Tequila does that too.
Tequila helps that as well. Did you dress up for Halloween or was it just like a onesie parade?
I was just at this house upstate.
Oh, right.
And we had a party, but it was just the six of us. And
so no costumes.
Yeah, we put on, everyone put on weird costumes, but
I
didn't go to any like costume parties.
Okay. So wait, what did you dress
that? I mean, I just was like cycling
Got
through.
It.
I don't know. I was like I had this strange mask that my friend wore to Burning Man. It's so bizarre. It was like $500 or $600, this mask.
What?
I know.
What kind of mask
is this?
It had like
fur on it and made out of leather. It was crazy. I don't know. Someone came down in like a pharaoh costume and then I put that on. And I don't know, dude.
Wow.
There was a panda.
This sounds like a, like I said, very cathartic post-album release.
A lot of artists. I was hanging out with a lot of artists and creators.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool. So are you the kind of artist that is constantly thinking about new songs in terms of, like, are you already thinking about the next project? Are you like, or are you like in the mindset of like, wow, this was like something huge to deliver. I need to like let my brain breathe for a minute.
That's a really good question. I'm so proud of this. I've never been more proud of anything I've made. I love these songs. And so I wanted to recognize and allow myself to rest in that. But I am a writer and I'm a songwriter and I'm a producer and like I can't help but be inspired and want to soak up more things. So my brain is going to the next thing, but I am trying to like pull the reins a little bit and let myself chill. But I do have to say that I was really nervous leading up to releasing this because it's scary. It's so scary to release new music, no matter like how confident someone thinks they'll be going into it.
Yeah.
A couple days before, that confidence shrivels up and you're like, oh my God, this thing is going to be judged by the world now.
Yeah.
So the thing that kind of helped me with that was this understanding that I am going to keep creating for the rest of my life. That this is just a stamp on time. And yes, I am obsessed with it. And yes, I love these songs. But there's going to be another project that I'm obsessed with next year.
Yeah.
And probably in a month, the next thing I write, I'm going to fall in love with.
Yeah.
And that really helped me with kind of relax the fear and understand that my job is just to create. And it's not my job how people are going to respond. So all I have to do is just keep creating. And that kind of gave me peace.
It's a very healthy outlook. I like that.
Thanks,
now, are you on social media, like looking at once the album drops on social media, like looking at tweets? And
yeah, totally. It's terrible.
Totally?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Ugh, yeah. No. The responses have been amazing.
Oh, okay, good.
No, they've been...
The habit is terrible.
The habit's terrible. It's such a bad thing to do. It's so unhealthy. I told myself I wasn't going to do it.
But it's a nice little confidence boost, right?
You know, it's funny because the thing that I'm seeing the most are a lot of like cool, you know, tastemaker people being like,
wow.
Oh shit, I can't believe I'm saying this, but this Rachel Platten record is fire. And that's a confusing compliment for me because I'm like, okay, thank you, I guess. I'm seeing a lot of that. People being like, yo, I can't believe I'm saying this, but this shit is crazy.
Wow. See, but that makes it presumes that the tastemakers weren't on you before.
I don't think that they were. I think that what happens with pop culture is that if something is so saturated, the take, like you know this, the take is what's counterculture.
Yeah.
So the take on me, what like the interesting view wasn't yay Rachel Platten because it was being shoved down everyone's faces in Ford commercials, on the presidential campaign. Everywhere you go, Fight Song and Stand By You was like the encouraging anthems. So the interesting take was this shit is lame.
Yeah.
Like the cool person's take. I mean, at least this is how I was trying to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I don't know if that's true. What do you, not even with me personally, do you think that's true as a journalist?
I think it's somewhat true. I mean, I think that there are some artists, I think it's also by genre. I think I think that happens a lot in pop music. I think it happens less often in hip hop. I think it definitely happens in rock music. Yeah, I think it really is, but like as you know, genre agnostic as we are now in terms of our society and listening habits, I do think people see like pop singer songwriter, and it's harder to kind of sell those tastemakers on.
Yeah, dude, why are you? That's not like the cool thing to introduce people to. Everyone's introduced.
Yeah,
and that's not the interesting article that everyone's going to be clicking on.
Yeah,
like oh shit. Whoa. But what is funny is that what I'm seeing now, and I have no idea if this is true or this is me just babbling, is that because it was like popular to be like, this is lame, fight song's lame.
So now the counterculture
is like, wait a second, this
Rachel
is cool.
Glenn, cool.
I'll take it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Come on board.
That's really funny. Yeah. I mean, you know.
But I have reached a healthier place of, even though I was looking that first day just to see because I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that I don't really care.
Yeah.
I cared, and I go through little glimpses, but my heart, like how I really feel if I've meditated, if I'm like kind of calm in myself and I'm grounded, that's not why I make music.
Yeah.
It's not what's going to determine if I love something or not.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you have to be true to yourself and what you want to create, because, you know, if you really wanted to create like a post-rock album to impress the Pitchforks of the world, like you could try to do that, but
I don't even know what
are.
Post-rock is. I don't know. I'm such a loser. I don't know.
It's a mostly made up genre, but that's okay.
Is it like some dude in Brooklyn being like, Jim, I'm going to come over and play drums later. Yeah. And like, yo, no one's heard of this band yet because it hasn't even been made.
Basically. Yeah. It's just like,
I gotta work on that. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I'm just picturing that, but
you're picturing me like going over with my beat up guitar.
Yeah, exactly. And just like traversing Brooklyn, like being like, best new music. Oh, I got it now. And like,
you know, what's funny? That is actually how I came up.
Yeah.
Was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Was like traversing around the city with my humongous keyboard, with my guitars.
Really?
Setting up in tiny little coffee shops, in lounges everywhere, Brooklyn, New York, Jersey, and making money by playing covers or playing open mics for years.
Yeah.
I lived in a van as I traveled around the country.
Oh my goodness.
I built a bed in the back of it. I mean, I think like, I think people know that story, that it took a long time.
Well, now how different does it feel? Like, do you miss those days at all? Or is it just like that's new stability, that new recognition? Is it?
I miss the sweetness of touring in a van. There's something so sweet about it.
Yeah.
You know, you're like all in it together and it's simple. And I'm driving and my tour manager is doing like the directions and someone else is figuring out where the next place we're going to stop for food is. And someone else is figuring out where we're going to sleep that night. And it's like we're all in it. It's now I have this humongous team and this massive machine that moves like a big, slow giant when we have an idea. Not that it's not incredible to have all that support. But yeah, there's something dope about like, yo guys, what if we did this? And then that happens.
Yeah.
Because it's on such a small scale.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, it's almost like in the way a lot of people spend their 20s kind of, you know, figuring it out. And then, you know, I just turned 30 a couple months ago. And
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
30 is a good one.
30 is a good one. It's really fun. And I'm personally at a completely different place in my life than I was when I was 23. And it's nice, like I'm happy to be where I'm at, but it also is like you look back and it's like, oh, like it's definitely like a more romantic lifestyle. And I'm assuming it's probably something similar to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're hungry and you're like chasing and you're also really in the moment too. I think like a lot of the times what made me keep going was just that I loved making music. I was making music with my best friends.
Yeah.
All around the country, and it didn't matter who was listening. We had this motto. We were like, the party's on the stage. If anyone wants to join us, awesome.
Yeah.
If there's five people in the bar and no one gives a shit that day, who cares?
Yeah.
We're making music.
Yeah. Well, now you're kicking ass. You're proving the tastemakers wrong initially.
I don't know about that. I don't fucking know. Do not make that the headline of this. I have no idea.
No, I hope everybody listening to this checks out Waves. It's a great record, and I'm happy to catch up with you again, Rachel Platten.
Thank you so much.
Check out, and obviously we've already talked about Broken Glass. That's the single, and yeah, just the whole album is. I just
you know what's funny though, Broken Glass was such a bridge song from the last songs to this. As much as I'm proud of it, it really isn't indicative of what the rest of the record sounds like.
I agree with that.
And it's really interesting that we chose that first. And
yeah.
You do.
Yeah. I totally agree. I feel like it was helpful from getting from point A to point B, and now point B is here. Waves is out now. And unfortunately, we got to wrap this up, but thank you so much, Rachel Platten.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to hear. Yeah. This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Once again, thank you to Rachel Platten. I hope you enjoyed that. It was a pretty long chat. I really enjoyed it. And check out Waves again. It's out now, and it's really good.
Okie dokie. Now it is time for the chart stat of the week. This week in 2001, Mary J. Blige got her first and so far only number one on the Hot 100 with Family Affair. The single hit the top of the list dated November 3rd, 2001, and spent a total of 6 weeks atop the tally. The song was Blige's 20th charting effort and came 9 years after her chart debut, back in the summer of 1992 with You Remind Me. Before Family Affair, Blige had reached the top 10 with Real Love, as the featured act on Method Man's I'll Be There For You, You're All I Need To Get By, and Not Gonna Cry. Since Family Affair, Blige has visited the top 10 twice more, with Be Without You and as the featured guest on Ludacris's Runaway Love. In total, Blige has racked up 40 Hot 100 hits. So, there you have it. Back in 2001, Mary J. Blige got her only number one on the Hot 100 with Family Affair. Alrighty, J-Dog.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. I will be with you physically in the office next week.
Yeah, that's right.
Our next Pop Shop.
Maybe you know we can... And then after that, I'm actually going to be with you physically in the LA office the week after.
Oh, really? When are you going to be here?
The week after you come to New York.
Oh, you'll be here on like the 13th and stuff?
Yeah.
Cool. Wow.
Got the Billboard Touring Conference. I'll be there rocking and rolling.
Awesome. Maybe we can do the show in New York. We can do it on video.
Ooh.
I saw our fellow podcast Soul Sisters does theirs on video.
Yeah, let's do it. Come on.
I'm kind of jealous. I want to do one on video now.
I'll wear, you know, a nice shirt.
Oh, gee whiz. Now I feel like I have to dress up. all right. So what song should we go out on this week?
Oh, man. I think we already played Family Affair by Mary J. Blige.
No, we didn't, because we don't play songs inside the chart set.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, very quickly, I was listening. That song actually came on while I was driving yesterday, and I was just like, man, I love this song.
Were you dancering it up?
What?
Were you dancering it up?
I know. Well, there was no hateration in my dancery, and I love that song so much. Let's go out on Family Affair.
All right, see you guys next time.
Bye.